This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
D Mace, Vingen and Donick, 1025. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. It is a Friday at 5. So it's time for a little Ask D Mace, 615-737-1025. If you've got the question for Derek, he's game. Just text it in. 615-737-1025. And I actually want to start Ask D-Mace by asking D-Mace something that happened to me yesterday. And Willie was witness to this. So Willie can back me up. Mm-hmm. Of course, yesterday we did the show at First Horizon Park with our friends at the Nashville Sounds. Mm-hmm. And when we do shows at First Horizon Park, I tend to park somewhere nearby in Germantown. Mm-hmm. And I'll find a street parking spot and I'll walk across the street to the ballpark. So as we were leaving the ballpark last night, Willie and I parked in roughly the same area. So we walked out there together. And I was as I was approaching my car, there was a car parked in front of me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did that car hit my car? As I kept on walking closer to the car, there was a car parked in front of me on the street that must have left, what, Willie, a quarter of an inch of space?
Let's put it this way. You remember the term? Back in the day, maybe it's still out there, for a guy that can't jump, you call it the credit card vertical.
Yes.
I feel like we could have taken a credit card, and it barely would have gotten between
the
two bumpers. I mean, it was that close. We're talking centimeters. Centimeters. What it was the guy in front of you was trying to get as close to the area of from here to here. The sign says from here to the corner, you can't park. And he was taking liberties anyway. Mm-hmm. Still, a big portion of his car was over the line. But he was like, well, if I just keep going back as far as I can, it won't look that bad. Even if I screw the guy behind me.
Oh, wow.
And who was that guy?
Me.
It was Adam.
So what's the protocol here? What's the least amount of space you should allow between cars?
That was ridiculous. I can't believe it was a miracle parking. You got out of there.
And it only took me like five times.
I couldn't believe it. See, I was about a block down, and I thought, by the time I get in my car, I'll zip by Adam. And I'm going to watch Adam, you know, going 2 inches
maneuver
at a time,
out
maneuvering out. And I'll just honk at him as he goes by. He was gone. What's the protocol, Derek? Do you leave like an angry sign on the guy's windshield wiper blades?
Okay. What I would have done if I'm parking, because I always look at the car behind the person that I'm parking in front of. And it especially is if there's only like three spaces. So I'm looking at the person behind the person that I'm going to park and see how close they are. And that determines how close that I will get, but I still wouldn't get as close as you guys, you know, said that individual got
to
you.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I wouldn't get that close, but I always look at the car behind them because my thing is I don't want nobody to get stuck in. Because what if that person leaves, somebody else comes in, and they park close?
Now, the car behind me was also pretty close, but at least the car behind me left me a little bit of room.
That person should have got a ticket because they were already over the space.
The car in front of me, its back bumper was basically resting on my front bumper.
Oh, wow. Which tells me either there were two people in the car and one directed while the other was parking, or the guy got close. hit your car a little bit, and then kind of
love
moved.
Tapped it.
Yeah, love tapped and kind of moved,
you know,
up a little
that's
bit.
That's a good point. I should probably check my car.
Yeah, you should check it. But yeah, that's bad parking by that individual. You don't park. Because again, what if somebody behind you parks close too?
You know what? I remember a few years ago, I was leaving a Predators game and I park at Music City Center. And I was walking to my car and I noticed a note on the car, and the handwriting on the note was clearly like a teenage girl saying, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Here's a number." And first of all, I was incredibly surprised that somebody actually had the decency to leave a note and admit that they backed into my car. It wasn't any significant damage. So the next day, I texted the number, and it was the girl's dad. This is how young she was. Mm-hmm. She must have been a brand new driver, because it was the girl's dad. And I just said, "Hey, I got this note on my windshield. I guess it was your daughter. She backed into my car. She left a note." And we were going back and forth. And then he said, "May I have your name?" And I said, "Adam Bingen." And he was like, "The guy who writes about the Preds?" and I said, "Yes." And you know what I said? "Tell your daughter she is a responsible young woman, because nobody leaves notes anymore."
Yeah, you very seldom do you get
somebody. I think if you're
going
to leave a note to the gentleman or person, I don't know if it was a gentleman or not, that did that yesterday, I don't think it would have been that nice.
Nah.
No. Yeah.
But that's it's just got to use proper parking etiquette. Make sure the person in front of you or behind you can get out, you know?
Yeah, like
that was a violation.
It was like
complete violation.
It was like that scene from Spaceballs, right?
Yeah,
where the guy can't,
can't get out.
That was basically me yesterday, but I did get out, much to my surprise.
How long did it take you to get out?
Not that long.
Not that bad.
A couple of minutes. It was probably like five back and forth,
five moves.
Yeah, like back
I'm
up,
impressed.
Forward, back up, forward, back up, forward, back up, forward, back up, forward, out.
Okay. Probably. Well, the good part about it is that you didn't notice any damage to your car.
Not yet.
No,
so. I'm going to check when I go downstairs.
Yeah, that could be like the glass half full.
Yes. Tony in Clarksville says, "D-Mace, most people who work have a BFF. Who is your work BFF? Who did you click with when you first came into the league? Your work BFF, so to speak."
Oh, man. Terry Killens. Because we live right down, enjoy Kent, because we all lived in the same neighborhood. But Terry Killens, yeah, I clicked with him pretty quick. Once we got into camp here in Nashville, he and I just kind of hit it off. And, you know, we became good friends. At the time, his wife was really good friends with my wife at the time. And so we just had in our family, I think we had our daughter before they had theirs. So we were kind of in the same age group and everything. And then Terry was from the Big Ten, so we had that in common. You know, he's from Ohio. I'm from Michigan. Was Terry from Ohio or from Pennsylvania? He might have been from Pennsylvania.
Well, that's still Big Ten country.
Yeah, it's still Big Ten country. So we kind of, you know, that was one other thing we kind of had in common.
Hair Metal Henry says, "Adam just described the cart scene in Austin Powers. Was it Austin Powers? I said Spaceballs. Was it Austin Powers? Man, if it was, I'm kind of embarrassed." But
Spaceballs was a good movie too. Fun.
Joey from Bellevue says, "Willie and Adam need to talk to whoever from the Sounds can have Derek Mason throw out the first pitch. I mean, there are only so many home games left this season. Have you thrown out a first pitch before?"
Yeah, it wasn't that great either. I think I one-hopped it. Yeah, I one-hopped it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're not talking like 50 Cent though.
No. Okay. It was a one-hopper. It didn't make it there. It just boom. And then, you know. Because I was so scared.
It didn't go viral. That's good.
I was so scared I was going to overthrow it or throw it to the right or left. So it was almost like one hopped it.
Did you stand on the mound or did you stand in front of the mound?
I can't remember if I may have stood on the mound. No, because I may have stood on the mound. Or did they have like a designated area right in front of the mound? I'm trying to remember. But I think it may have been on a mile.
The problem is I'm not sure I'm going to have the time to redeem myself from my poor performance at the Sounds game
not
last
this
year. With my
maybe
next year. Yeah. With the trying to catch the t-shirts from the slingshot. My eye condition. It was my eye condition. I stand by it.
Have you been practicing?
No.
Well, there you go.
One texter says there used to be cards with a pic of Mickey Mouse flipping the bird and using some very adult language in cases where people parked too close to you, left a few on windshields over the years.
I've seen that.
I've always wanted one of those things, like when you're riding in the car, and I think they are out, that when you're riding in your car, if somebody does something crazy, you just turn on the flick on the light or something, and it tells them how you feel in your window, and you keep riding.
Like a mood ring?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, if I think you cut me off, then I, you know, give the one finger salute, you know?
One texter says, does Chim Dike remind Derek of himself in his early NFL career? Clearly exciting on special teams, has shown signs of taking on a bigger role as a receiver.
Yes, from a special team standpoint. I think from a receiver standpoint, I was a little further ahead, I believe, in my second year, going into my second year. But definitely, I think from a special teams. I think he's going to be better than I was on special teams, because I think he's going to play on special teams longer. Unless, like me, he gets an opportunity because of an injury. But I think he will play special teams longer than I did. So I think his impact on special teams will be felt longer than what my impact on special teams was.
One texter says, D-Mace, I know you're getting tired of me asking this question, but why did the Titans receivers always seem to be covered up like a blanket and get no separation? How did you get separation so easily?
Quickness. it's because a lot of it is, in my era of football, I'm an old man here. In my era of football, people, this is what they did. Now, in my era of football, you saw more grabbing, holding, pressing, because the rules were not geared toward the offense back then. So defensive players got away with being a little bit more physical, and they were that in college, and then you saw it in the pros. So I was used to it, so I had to find a way. And then I had pro coaches, guys that went to the pros, pros came back and sort of taught us some things. And then it was like, just use my quickness. I'm not 6'2", 6'3", 6', but if I can use my quickness, that helps me get off the line of scrimmage. Now, because these kids, these young men, excuse me, are not facing much, if at all, press, when they get into press in the NFL, it takes some guys a very long time to adapt to that. And I think that's what you're seeing, at least with the two young guys. Now, Calvin Ridley, there's no excuse for him. He's been in the league a while. I just think he's one of those guys, and that's the scouting report. He's one of those guys that has difficulties at time getting off the press coverage.
One texter says, my question for Derek is, how many times do we think Adam has used the phrase due to my condition in his life?
Officer, due to my condition. Well,
when I want to get out of things, my eye condition.
So he may have used it a couple of times, you know.
I'm not afraid to make an excuse. I'm not afraid. Hey. I am not afraid
Listen,
to make
man,
an excuse.
I can see my eye condition. Okay. And you have a legitimate reason.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, as I've told the story many times on the show, my influence in life, my inspiration is Larry David. Mm-hmm. And Larry David is world renowned for coming up with great excuses not to do things.
You know, I think to go back to what Texter texted about Chim Dike, I think he's going to be more Mark Mariani, because I think Mark Mariani's, his success was greater than mine because he played it. He was a special teams guy for a longer period. He excelled at it. And I think he was one of the more consistent Titan returners, if not the most consistent, because he did it for a while. Titan returners. He was a Pro Bowler at it. So I think he would be, which is great. If he turns out to be Mark Mariani on special teams, that's great. That's what you want. So, but I think as a receiver, he still has a lot to learn.
I am curious for your opinion on the Titans wide receiver group as currently constructed. I know there are a lot of people bullish on the wide receiver group. We heard Paul Kaharsky tell us this yesterday when we had him on the show. How do you stack up this wide receiver group for the Titans versus those in recent years?
Just all depends on how far you want to go back. If you want to go back to, you know, the
take
AJ
it back
Brown,
as far as you want to go.
AJ Brown and Corey Davis. I think they had some other guys. Who else was on that team? I'm trying to remember.
What year was that?
That was Willie Wood. 2023.
I would say so. 19, 20, and 21 were some really good Titans teams.
Yeah, so it might have been that 2021 season.
Or 21, I think it was Julio. Right, they had moved on from Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. I think Corey Davis's last year was 2020. Is that right? Yeah,
that was AJ Brown, Nick Westbrook Ikhine, and Julio Jones. Yeah, that was
with a little Khalif Raymond thrown in there.
By name, then you would look at Julio and AJ, but it didn't work out. So you would have to go back a ways. Hell, if you're talking about the depth of the receiver position, I'm not talking about the first two or three guys. But if you're talking about the room in general, based on, you know, production or talent, from my knowledge, I think it would be, you know, myself, Dyson, Drew, Chris was in.
Justin McCarron's,
Chris. So we had five guys that could flat out play, you know, and I don't think this receiving core can be that. We thought that's what it was going to be last year when they brought in the guys and tried to make it work out, and it never did. But I think this year has a possibility because we saw what Chim and Ellick can do last season. And you just hope Ellick seems like he's gotten a lot better. You just hope that Chim is as well. And then you add Robinson and obviously Tate. I think this is probably the deepest receiving core since they've had since the late 1990s.
All right, two rapid-fire questions. Early 2000s. Our friend Brandy says, D-Mace, are my Miami Dolphins going to be a complete train wreck this year or have a better year than people think?
I don't think they're going to be a complete train wreck. But
who's Malik Willis throwing the ball to, speaking of receivers?
But they ain't going to make it to the playoffs. I don't see them making it to the playoffs,
Brandy, I think they're going to be terrible.
I think the question is, who is worse, the Jets or the Dolphins. And I think most people think the Jets have quite a bit better roster than the Dolphins.
And all right, last one. D-Mace, will you show up to work next week if the Spartans lose tonight?
Yeah, so why wouldn't? I mean, but that ain't going to happen.
It better not. I don't need Hal Gill. I don't need Hal Gill 2-0.
It ain't going to happen.
I don't need Hal Gill 2-0 silly underdog.
It ain't
going to
happen. I'll be at work, but that ain't going to happen
either. I'll be an honorary Spartan for that purpose tonight.
And if they don't win, then I still got to come to work and I got to – hear Willie say, the dab.
The dab. 615.
It might come up. It just might.
It might. Let's talk about
if
Rutgers.
If it happens. I'm rooting for the Spartans.
Oh, man.
615-737-1025. All right. Let's revisit the Predators trade from earlier this week. I know some of you may not be over it yet. Luke Evangelista, now a member of the New Jersey Devils. But we're going to have a conversation straight out of Moneyball. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, Willie.
Guys, you're still trying to replace Giambi. I told you we can't do it. We can't do it. Now, what we might be able to do is recreate him. Recreate him in the aggregate.
The what?
Giambi's on base percentage was .477. Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291. Add that up and you get...
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
1092.
Divided by three.
It's 364.
That's what we're looking for. Three ball players whose average OBP is?
364.
I don't know, that doesn't look right. Doesn't come out right.
That's right, Artie.
Billy?
You got to carry the one.
Right? Billy.
That's his turn. Yeah.
Who's that?
That's Pete.
Does Pete really need to be here?
Yes, he does.
What a great movie. I would argue Brad Pitt's greatest role.
Greatest role?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I would not say that. He did a good job.
I might say.
I got it. There's a lot.
I might put it up there.
At number one.
I could make the argument.
That might be a debate for another day.
I could make the argument. That was, of course, a scene out of Moneyball starring Brad Pitt talking about the Athletics attempting to recreate Jason Giambi in the aggregate. And the reason why we bring that up is because, well, first of all, new Predators GM Chris McFarland, big analytics guy, just like Billy Bean was, of course. But Chris McFarland is going to also try to recreate Luke Evangelista in the aggregate after trading him to the New Jersey Devils earlier this week. And we talked about the trade on Wednesday. And if you missed that conversation on Wednesday, go back and listen to it. The first hour of the program on Wednesday was all about this trade. A lot of the analysis still holds up if you missed it. Find it wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. But there is a hole in the top six forward lineup for the Predators this season. And, Willie, we're all wondering, training camp starts in a couple of weeks, which players are going to be the ones who help the Predators recreate Luke Evangelista in the aggregate? Because right now I think it's safe to say four of the top six positions are spoken for. Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, and Maverick Bourque. Those four players are absolutely going to be in the Predators' top six. Beyond that, I would say it's a fairly safe bet that Matthew Wood will be in that group as well. Not a guarantee, but I would put Matthew Wood in that group as well. So as we prepare for Predators training camp in a couple of weeks, what do you think the best way for the Predators to replace Luke Evangelista is?
Well, first of all, I don't think Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill are in the analytics department over on Broadway.
They're not.
But there's no question that Chris McFarland has beefed up. If you have seen the press releases floating in throughout the summer, he has added some high-end names that you've heard of, like Rob Blake and Jamie Langenbrunner, who you know as players, and they also are very decorated front office guys, especially Rob Blake, who was a GM for 8 years. But they've added a lot of names that you haven't heard of, and those guys are going to be in the analytics department. I think the Predators feel like, and McFarland, they've taken their knowledge of how to apply analytics to a whole new level as they've beefed it up. And that's not to say they weren't paying attention to it before. They absolutely were. But I think they feel like there's another level there. And that's what's interesting about the Evangelista trade to me, is Evangelista, and you spouted him off the other day, yesterday, he's an analytically strong player in a lot of areas. And the Predators knew that, and yet still felt like this was the best way to utilize the asset. Take the first and second round picks. Take the money that you're going to have to pay him. And we just saw another great example of how the market is changing. Zeev Bouyam, an up-and-coming, but he hasn't scratched the surface yet, defenseman. He hasn't really done it yet. But he was a principal guy in the Quinn Hughes trade for the Vancouver Canucks. High-end prospect. He just got signed for 8 years at $9.2
million.
$9.38 million guaranteed. Guaranteed. So that ought to tell you what's going on. Luke Evangelista, we estimate, is going to get somewhere in that $8 million range for his next contract. So they thought, we can replace him in the aggregate. He didn't use that word. Chris McFarland didn't. We're using it. And I think they would like to utilize that asset on defensemen. But now let's talk about how you go about replacing the production of a Luke Evangelista, because it's a gamble, right? Wouldn't you agree, Adam?
Yes.
He's gambling that he can do this. It's not a sure thing. It's hard to do that because, like, if it weren't some of these other guys in that movie that you saw sitting around the table for the Oakland A's in the movie, if you had a similar setup and you had Steven Stamkos, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly sitting there going, okay, tell me how we're going to get better without Luke Evangelista. He has to sell that, right? Chris McFarland does, and now Andrew Brunette has to make that happen. If he was sitting at that table, he would say, okay, what's your idea, right?
No, absolutely. And we talked about this the other day. Luke Evangelista is not a player without faults, but he was, I believe, the team's fourth leading scorer last season with nearly 60 points, 44 assists, really strong playmaking ability. He's not going to be a big-time goal scorer. He's not going to get goals from 2 feet out like Ryan O'Reilly, but he played an important role for this team, and now the Predators are going to try to replace that production with young, unproven players. Like Matthew Wood, for example. Matthew Wood, I thought, had a solid rookie NHL season. He hit the wall at one point, but he finished the season with 17 goals and 30 points. He shot 16.5% last season. I don't anticipate Matthew Wood shooting 16.5% again this season. If memory serves, his shooting percentage last season is higher than Philip Forsberg's career average. So I don't expect Matthew Wood to score at a higher clip than Philip Forsberg. But there was promise there. You put him on a line with Maverick Bork, for example. Can you get more out of Matthew Wood? I mean, Brady Martin is a potential top six winger for this team. I think Chris McFarland even alluded to that the other night, if memory serves. So there are options for the Predators, no doubt. But as you said, they are betting that a couple of these younger players can replace the production of Evangelista.
Here's how I look at it, and I don't know if this reflects what Chris McFarland's thinking is or not, but I think that they believe it's more of a broad replacement in the aggregate, right? If you were to have that conversation, I would have to think the method that they're using is similar to what Brad Pitt and back in the day, the real Billy Beane had. When you add up the production of the guys that you lost and you say, how do we replace that collectively over the 9 forwards or maybe even the 12 forwards? Because not only is Evangelista out the door, but of course you got Michael Bunting's production you had last year. You had Svechkov and some of those other guys. So if you add all that in there, I think he believes, I think it's clear that Chris McFarland believes in the guys he brought in. Like I don't want to call them no names, but names that are very familiar to him, but maybe not as familiar to casual fans unless you really follow closely. A Ross Colton, an Alex Kerfoot, a Jack Drury, a Nils Höglander. I think he hopes that those guys will end up pitching in a little bit more than Michael McCarron and Cole Smith, who did a lot of great things, but they weren't going to score a whole lot, right? Bunting, etc. Eric Halla would be another guy that you're trying to replace in that mix. But I think when you really boil it down to Evangelista, two guys come to mind for me. One is obviously Maverick Bork, right? Bork wasn't on the team last year. So just swapping out Bork for Evangelista, and you made a great point. Well, why not have them both? Well, they could have done that. But you will have Bork in place of Evangelista. And they really do believe that Bork is a guy on the rise and with more ice time can produce more.
I'm very intrigued by that addition. I loved the trade at the time. I thought it was a bold move. And I really like the idea of Bork having more opportunity, being able to play center more consistently. He had 20 goals last season. I think with more ice time, he can easily surpass that. He is a player, Predators fans, that if I'm recommending it to you, he's a player I would watch very closely early in the season. He's someone I'm going to be watching very closely early in the season.
And he had 41 points last year, 20 goals, 21 assists. Of those 41 points, he only had one power play goal and 4 power play assists, if I'm reading that right. Is that correct?
I'll double check.
I think I'm reading that right. So with the idea
he had one power play goal out of 20 total, 19 even strength goals.
So all that to say, he wasn't playing a lot on the power play for Dallas for obvious reasons. I think he's going to have a chance to play at least as much power play time as Evangelista did last year, and maybe more. We'll see, but he'll have a chance. So I think they see that as one area they're going to get some more production. The next guy is a guy that we didn't talk about much yesterday, because I'm hesitant to say, well, this is the guy that's going to do it. But they signed a guy named Vitaly Pinchuk that he scored last year at 23 years of age, 31 goals in the KHL in 65 games. Now, I would be a fool to sit here and say, well, that's good for 31 goals in the NHL. I'm not going to even go close to that. But if you believe in him at all, and I think they've tried to do their homework as best they can, they had to factor his presence in this whole equation. I think they're going to get they feel like they're going to get something significant from him offensively. Now, we know this, Adam, with guys from the KHL.
Lottery tickets.
It's a little bit of a lottery ticket. You can hit it big. Nobody had really heard much about Artemi Panarin. He came out of the KHL and lit it up. Certainly, we know right up the road in Minnesota, they've got a guy who's now making about as much as anybody in the league.
Andre Kuzmenko, another one who comes to mind.
He's good. But also, you know, the Thrill. Kirill the Thrill.
Yes.
He was in the KHL. He was a fifth-round pick. They brought him over, and he lit it up. Pinchuk's not in that class. And for every one of those guys, there's probably a long list of guys that, hey, we got this guy from the KHL. He did pretty well over there, and he doesn't amount to anything. So he could be at either end of the spectrum. But I think they feel pretty good that a guy that was among the best scorers in the KHL over the last 2 years at a pretty young age is going to bring something to the table for the Predators. And so if you put all of that together collectively in the aggregate with Ross Colton, with Maverick Bork, with Pinchuk, with Kerfoot, and even Hoglander, who I think they feel like can pitch in a little bit, then could you collectively make up the offensive production? In theory, the answer is yes, but I'll finish how I started this. It's a gamble. He's gambling on that, but he's hopefully, and this is McFarland I'm talking about, he's hopefully exchanging that gamble for being able to take the first and second round picks and the money that you would have to budget for Evangelista, and he can turn to really go after where he thinks the bigger need is, and that's on the blue line.
615-737-1025. Training camp, I believe, less than 2 weeks away for the Nashville Predators. We're all very excited about that. They opened the season October 1st at home at Bridgestone Arena. I think 4 weeks from yesterday. So hockey season will be here sooner than you think. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show and the week. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. Hey, Svingen and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek Mason had to dip out a little bit early for an event. So we will talk to Derek next week. Connor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm stumped on the theme.
And these have been great songs, but I don't get the connection. I need hints. What are the hints?
Well, it has something to do with the albums.
It has something to do with the albums.
All right.
Are they movie soundtracks?
They are not.
Okay. No. So this album is Face Value?
Yes.
Okay. Remind me of the other songs that I got to name the album.
It was Runaway Baby from, I can give you the album names.
Well, no, I went, but what are the songs?
It was Runaway Baby, Bruno Mars, About a Girl, Nirvana, Rhyming and Stealing, Beastie Boys.
License to Ill.
We had Any Way You Want It, Journey.
Journey's Greatest Hits. I forget which album that was on.
It has nothing to do with the names.
Nothing to do with the names of the albums?
No.
Is that like the date they were released?
Sort of. You're on the right track.
I'm stumped.
I'm still stumped?
I'm stumped.
I'm stumped.
We might. Debut albums.
Oh, debut albums. Oh, very clever.
And I'm excluding, like for Phil Collins, for instance, his debut would be Genesis. But
right. But that was his first album as a solo act. Yeah.
I had Michael Jackson on here as a little kid, but it was a solo album of Michael Jackson.
Okay. Good theme.
Very clever.
That was a stumper. That was a stumper.
I had to redeem myself from not knowing hair metal. So I did a lot of research this week.
Good to know.
Songs from debut albums.
I like it.
And successful albums.
One texter from our previous segment said, my daughter just scoffed from the back seat and said, nobody can replace Luke Evangelista.
I get it. I get it. And look, that had to be the hardest part.
There is a gaping hole in the Nashville's Most Beautiful People list now because he is no longer a Nashvillian.
Will any of the newcomers become
I can't say I've popular? Studied that hard in that particular
It's really
subject.
Not us to say. With the our analytics, I can't speak now.
Analytics
department cannot quantify
handsome,
that fact.
Handsome per 60, we can't. we can't do that. Riz per 20, we can't. Yeah, we can't do that. Aura per game, we're fresh
but
out.
In all honesty, it does illustrate what you said yesterday. That Chris McFarland had to put emotional attachments and popularity aside to make a tough call, a bold call, right? This the easy thing would have been to just play it out. But they looked at it and they thought this was the way to go. And they had to not be afraid to take that hit of, wait a minute, this is a young player who fits into the age category you're trying to build on, right? So you got rid of that. And the obvious popularity and charisma that you get from an entertainment standpoint, that's not nothing. You have to consider that. He thought that was still enough to, he still felt strong enough about the trade in front of him to make this move, for better or worse. But that's, remember the story that David Poile told many times when he was on the verge of breaking the record for most wins by a GM? He said one of the first trades he ever made.
Rod Langway.
Was it Rod Langway? That was a big one for sure. But I think even before that, he traded the captain of the Capitals.
Oh, yes.
Remember he told that story? And the owner of the Capitals, he was a young GM, first-timer, and he was sitting in his office. He made that trade. He's like,
It was the trade for Rod Langway.
Okay. Is that right?
Yes.
But the gist of the story is this. He traded the team's captain, who was, like Luke Evangelista, a very popular player. And the owner called him and said,
you better be right.
I hope you know what you're doing. And so David Poile, his whole day was wrecked at that point, going, oh, man, what did I just do? And so he said he would always have that little voice in his head for every time he had to make a bold trade. He would say, I hope you know what you're doing. And that's the life of a GM, right?
Our friend Dylan in Antioch with a shout-out for one of our sponsors, Twice Daily. He says the Twice Daily pizza is awesome. No kidding, I had some yesterday.
Wow.
I too, by the way, listening to your live read, I too am cheesy and saucy.
Cheesy and saucy.
More cheesy than saucy, but I can be both. So we began today's program talking about Rutgers losing to UMass at home last night. UMass, a 29.5-point underdog on the road, and embarrasses the Scarlet Knights in New Jersey. So I'm looking at other lines this weekend, Willie, that are at least 30 points.
Yes.
I'm looking at lines that are at least 30 points. Oklahoma is a 40.5-point favorite against UTEP. Let's see what else. Indiana is a 40.5-point favorite against North Texas.
So just for fun,
yes.
And we should have gotten one from Derek
yes,
before
we
left.
Should have.
But why don't we just pick an underdog, not to win,
but
just
to cover.
Just to root for.
Or not to cover.
A 40 or more point underdog.
Or to cover.
Covering would be nice, yeah.
Yes, let's see here. At least 30 points. All right.
At least 30. So you got LIU taking on Kansas as a 43.5-point dog.
I'll keep it local. Let's see if TSU can cover against Georgia between the hedges. 47.5 points. Tennessee State at Georgia tomorrow.
How about Ball State? 49.5 going into the horseshoe against the Buckeyes. I could jump on the Cardinals bandwagon.
Okay, how about this one? BYU, the Fighting Trevor Maddiches against Utah Tech.
Utah Tech. I didn't know there was one.
I just learned that myself. BYU is
a... And they have a football team.
BYU is a 51.5-point favorite.
Are you taking Utah Tech? Well, what's their nickname? I don't even know. I've never heard of them.
The Utah Tech Trailblazers.
The Blazers.
I'm going to take TSU. I'll stay local. I'll take TSU to cover against Georgia, 47.5.
All right, Connor, do you have one that you just want to jump on the bandwagon as the enormous underdog, 30 or more?
I mean, I think we can all join in hatred of this one. How about Abilene Christian, -42.5 against Texas Tech?
Ooh. Isn't that interesting?
I mean, all of this stuff with LSU has made us forget about all of that stuff with Texas Tech. At least Brendan Sorsby isn't on the team. But we spent a lot of time vilifying Texas Tech this offseason. The LSU stuff has taken the lead as of late. But Abilene Christian.
Okay. How about out at the Fargo Dome, North Dakota State, now a FBS team. They won their debut. They are a 41.5-point favorite over the Fordham Rams from the Bronx, New York. from the middle of New York City, they're heading out to Fargo, North Dakota.
Talk about a
culture
shock. To play
in the Fargo Dome as a 41-point dog.
Talk about a culture
shock. That's must-see TV right there.
Which
game?
It's
on Mountain West Plus.
Easily,
that's the thing.
Easily accessible.
Mountain West Plus.
I know, Willie, of course, you will be watching your beloved Commodores this weekend against Austin Peay. And I know we'll all be watching Clemson at LSU. Is there another game you have your eye on this weekend?
I think, obviously, the one here with
of course.
Ole Miss and Louisville, that's going to be a good
Ball.
Game. Yeah, that's an important game.
It is an important game.
Because I think from the ACC's perspective, it's important to see how Louisville does against Ole Miss. It's also important to see how Clemson does against LSU. Like, ACC needs some wins. Remember, they were staring in the face last year, not having a team in the playoffs, because the dilemma was Duke's win was not automatically a bid into the tournament, and then Miami was on the bubble and had to get the at-large, which they did, and obviously they represented more than adequately. But that was a Power Four league with a possibility of not getting a bid. I don't know that that's crazy, but I think they changed the rules, basically, now that the automatic bid goes to the conference champion, just to avoid the possibility of being shut out.
Connor, what's coming up on the 6?
Dr. Crane going to join the show in a last-minute put-together. We only thought we were going to get 30 minutes. We have a full hour tonight.
Ooh.
Boom.
So all college football talk in preparation.
Some
for
high school games delayed.
Yeah, just because of the heat. 30 minutes, so our Metro game will start at 7:30, pregame at 7 tonight.
Okay. And
tell people about what happens, too, the rest of the night, because if people are tuned in, you guys got some high school coverage?
Of course. Yeah, we have our Metro Nashville Public Schools game of the week tonight. Jake Lyman and Coach Spears on the call for that one. I believe it's Stratford and Lawson doing battle tonight. And then afterwards, as soon as that game's over, myself, Big Joe, we'll take you to midnight. Scores around the mid-state, interviews with coaches. Last week we had 15 coaches on.
Wow.
So, hoping to keep that going awesome this week.
Well, if you need your high school football coverage, there is no better place to get it than with
Lock
Connor Dude, Big Joe, Jake Lyman, and the rest of the crew coming up later tonight. But that'll do it for us today and for this week. We had a wonderful time with you. We hope you had a wonderful time with us. No show on Monday, of course, because of Labor Day. So we will be back on these airwaves 3 p.m. on Tuesday. And it's game week, just days away from the Tennessee Titans home opener against the New York Jets. We'll be hot and heavy into the Tennessee Titans next week. Hopefully nobody else gets their credential revoked so we can talk about something else. But Derek Mason, he isn't here, so I'll do it for him. Be loved, love on your people. Have a wonderful, restful, and safe Labor Day weekend. Stay cool as best you can. And when we come back Tuesday at 3, we'll be talking and
you'll be listening.
The 6 is next. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Talk to you Tuesday.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.